So, Berto, I thought we would respond to some patron emails. What do you say?
Oh, yeah. I love patron emails.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist and a professor.
My name is Humberto Castañeda. I break mugs.
Why do you do that?
So, you know, you get these mugs that have pictures of people on them?
Uh-huh.
Like, we have mugs with our pictures in them,
yeah.
Right? So, I have this belief that if I break them, it's like a voodoo doll kind of thing.
Oh.
I can take possession of them.
Oh.
But I don't do it for myself. I charge money, so I do it for other people.
Interesting. That's weird. Yeah. So, this email is from an anonymous person. They say, have you ever addressed why people elevate public figures to the level of role model or even hero status? And what happens when that person turns out to not be as they appeared in public?
Mm.
I'm referring to beloved and revered actors, politicians, sports figures, etc., who turn out to be domestic abusers, rapists, and pedophiles.
Yep.
There is a very prominent person within a community of which I am a part who has been accused of serious abuse of power and criminal behavior. This is a person I admired for their activism and compassion. I would not use the term hero, but I definitely consider them to have an outstanding character, intelligence, and felt that they made a positive difference in the world. What should I believe? Berto, what should this person believe?
Is the question, what should they believe the accusations, or should they believe...
I get, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Well, it is a very hard question. I guess for me personally, there are some cases that come out where not only am I not surprised, but I'm like, yeah, good riddance, right? Like, as an example... Even though I knew not a lot about Harvey Weinstein, the little bit I knew before the big scandal, it didn't seem to me a person that was nice anyways, you know. I watching Entourage, they made fun of him being a complete dick, basically. So once the accusations came out, I was sort of like, yeah, I'm not surprised, and good riddance. On the other hand, when Kevin Spacey stuff came out, you know, I've had a real big admiration for Kevin Spacey as an actor for a long time. I really love his movies. I love the show House of Cards, and I really enjoyed him. You know, so when the accusations came out, I was really torn on A, what to believe, and B, what should I do with my admiration for this person now? Should I throw it all away? What about the movies? Should I no longer like those movies? You know, and all those kinds of things went through my head. Even in a bigger way, I think for a lot of people, this happened with Michael Jackson. You know, we've talked about that too. And yeah, it's certainly not easy because you also form a lot of your identity around these people. You know, a lot of the things you like and believe and say, it's like, well, it's, you might not say it explicitly, but in your head, things you like make of a lot of what you are, the way you come off, the things you quote, the things you like and appreciate. So to find out some of it is really bad or some of it is by someone who's really bad, it challenges you as a person, you know, a little bit. You know, it's like, who are you?
Yeah, this is a tough one. I don't know what to say, patron. You got Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Woody Allen.
Right, Bill Cosby. That's another one. Kids growing up in the 80s, I grew up with Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, there's a good role model, you know, there's a...
Yeah, Bill Cosby was a massive part of my life growing up. Not only, obviously, The Cosby Show, which was like the biggest show of that time.
As
but before Cosby Show, my dad would buy his comedy records.
Right.
And we would just sit around the record player and listen to his comedy records.
Laugh your head off.
Yeah. Or seeing him on TV.
And I love Fat Albert. Like, I love Fat Albert.
Fat Albert was a huge part of my growing up. Roman Polanski, Bill Clinton.
Right.
Louis C.K., James Franco, T.J. Miller. Tavis Smiley. Did you know Tavis Smiley had a part? Do you know Tavis Smiley?
Oh, yeah. I did not know.
Al Franken. Matt Lauer, I guess. I wasn't a fan of his, but John Lasseter from Pixar.
Right. And by the way, we should point out, these aren't apples to apples. Like, just because we are naming these names doesn't mean everyone's the same and cases are the same.
All these, from what I understand, are confirmed.
No, I know, but I'm saying
I'm not.
Some of these are rapists. Some of these are
right.
You know,
but all these are confirmed men who have used their power in evil ways.
Sure.
Some have done it a billion times over,
yeah.
And some have done it once.
Yeah.
But they've all done it. Charlie Rose, Ryan Seacrest, Jeffrey Tambor.
Was the Ryan Seacrest stuff confirmed, though? I thought that that was...
Maybe not. But yeah. But I know the other ones have all been... I mean, you know, Polanski and Clinton. I mean, it's pretty...
Well, actually, the Clinton one is really egregious because the thing that most people cared about was him lying about Monica Lewinsky. But that was... And I know it was a power imbalance, but that wasn't as egregious as some of the other things that he actually did with other women.
Right. As a therapist, I don't have any opinion about it because it's up to everyone to decide how they want to see that. It's a personal thing, and your feelings are your feelings, and you're on a journey. As a fellow citizen, I tend to separate the art from the artist. You know, Annie Hall is one of my favorite movies.
Yep.
I wouldn't say it's probably not in the top 20, but it's, you know, top 50 movies. Every once in a while, I just want to pop that thing in and watch it, you know?
Yep.
Interiors by Woody Allen is a beautiful movie. Midnight in Paris is a great movie. What's the one with Javier Bardem in Spain? That's a great movie too. Anyway, there's a lot of Woody Allen movies that I love.
Yep.
From what I understand, you can't deny that he has done some, you know, at the very, of the things we know he's done are pretty bad.
Sure.
And God knows what else he's done. And he's not even trying to hide it. You know, when you marry your wife's adopted daughter or your ex-wife's adopted daughter, like, and she's really young at the time, it's like, you're just trying to flaunt it at this point that you have a thing for that, you know?
Yeah.
And so for me, I don't want to stop watching Annie Hall.
Yeah, right. It's hard.
But at the same time, I condemn everything he's done.
Well, and there's tough cases like, what was the recent one where they canceled the whole thing because of a tweet? Roseanne.
Right.
Okay. So, granted, she wasn't abusing anyone sexually that we know of.
But it's, you know.
But what she did was she made some very, very, very bad comment and series of things. So, but there was this point brought up of, okay, so now that whole show is bad. Everyone that worked on it is bad. Everyone has to be out of work and blah, blah.
Yeah, I felt bad for all the other. Right. I don't feel bad for John Goodman because he can get work.
He can get, right. And there's similar stuff with like House of Cards, right? Like, in fact, ironically, this very strong female actress who stands out because not, you know, she's one of the examples of like, oh, look, a very successful female actress now in a very popular show. Oh, her show is gone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that's
are they going to try to do a season with just her or is it just
no, I don't
it's
think
fully
so.
Gone?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that show was done after season two anyway.
I hear you. Yeah, but I'm just saying how, like, basically one person's actions doomed the whole... I mean, think of how many hundreds of people worked on that show, right?
But what are you going to do? Like, you know, he was the center of that show.
Absolutely. No, and I'm not saying, no, you should have kept it going in spite of it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, in fact, if anything, I'm making their actions worth that much more. Like, they caused so much more damage than just... to the person that, you know.
Yeah, and that's a different issue because, so let me ask you, Berto, did you ever like Roseanne, the TV show?
Yeah, as a kid.
So if a rerun of Roseanne came on, would you watch it?
Well, bad example because I wouldn't, but not because of this. I just, it's not the kind of show that I would crave a rerun of, But the
what about House of Cards? What about Kevin Spacey?
Right. So
would you watch that?
Not House of Cards, maybe, but certainly
other movies,
Seven or any of those. Glengarry Glen Ross, one of my favorite movies. You know, absolutely.
Okay.
And yet, sure, as I'm watching it, I'd be like, oh, but you know, it's one actor among many in that cast,
right? And all the people who wrote it and directed it, and you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, now if someone wants to say it's immoral to them that they would watch a Woody Allen movie because they don't want to support that. I totally dig it because believe me, there's a part of me that feels that way about it.
Yeah, and that's fair. It's even like, what was the guy who was Beretta, who then was a murderer?
Yeah.
He, you know, Lost Highway, I love that movie. I you know, someone, if they said, oh, I can't watch Lost Highway because it's got that guy and he's a murderer, right? It's like, okay. That's fair. Right. For me, it wouldn't bother me. But
yeah, I think it really depends. You know, because it'd be like, say, Paul McCartney comes out as raping children this whole time.
Oh my God! Come on now.
Like, am I going to stop listening to?
That's too extreme. Too far. Too soon. Too far.
Do you know what I mean? Am I going to not listen to the Beatles?
No. Like, let's not even have that conversation.
You know. So now, but I totally understand if someone did make that choice.
Well, let's take a real example: Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I listened to Michael Jackson. I was just listening to a Thriller the other day.
Yeah. Right.
And
at the same time, another part of my, or, you know, I can have both and. I can enjoy his music, and I can also say that based on the evidence, I'm fairly sure that he did something, you know.
What about OJ? Airplane. Naked Gun. All the movies he was in.
But he's like a pretty. He's not like the central character in those movies.
Fine, but.
For me, I don't.
Because you could certainly make a case that you know,
by watching it, he's getting a dividend or something.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah, or you're now passively, approving of this person's lifestyle.
Is OJ in jail right now?
I think he just got out.
Is he alive?
Yeah.
He's alive.
He's about to get out, or he already got out. Because he was convicted for that hotel room trying to get his stuff back, kind of like ruffian. I think there's a documentary about that. Have you seen that? Do you know all the details about that crime he committed?
No, I just know it was like he was trying to reclaim his memorabilia and had this ridiculous plan, and it went obviously south. But I don't know the details.
Yeah, he basically.
Is there an actual movie about it?
There's a documentary, or at least like a mini documentary, and he basically kind of got his friends together, and none of them really wanted to do it, and. Yeah. They like busted in this hotel room and basically like held someone.
Right.
Anyway, and they're on camera because there's cameras all over the. It's like in a casino hotel or something, and it just looks like a bunch of doofuses. Like and then when he got caught, a typical sentence would be like a couple years maybe or something, and he got like 33 years or something. He got like some. The same amount of years that he would have got if he was convicted of killing.
Is that because he was violating some term of something?
No, it was because the judge just really wanted to stick it to him. And I mean, this is the speculation.
I see.
And she was trying to make up for the fact that he got away.
Oh, so that's not right. Even though, you know, I mean, that's not right.
Well.
A judge shouldn't do that.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I think he got off. Way early, got out of jail way early because I might have some of the details wrong. But
actually, that'd be an interesting argument. A judge should or should not do that. You know, it's kind of a because technically, no. By our legal system, a judge probably shouldn't do that. Yeah.
Right. And that's why certain mechanisms kicked in so that he could be released early. He goes on to ask, the person denies the allegations, and I don't know what to believe. I met them several times in small social gatherings and had no feeling of anything being off about them. Many people say they always got a creepy vibe from this person and many others who had no clue. Why do some people's radar get set off by people and others don't? Berto.
All right. So that's a really good one. First of all, my current stance on this is certainly you're not the law. You are not a judge, jury. You're not any of that stuff. So certainly you can make decisions for yourself and maybe your close family or something. So if you don't trust someone for whatever reason, and you don't want to be around them or you don't want your kids around them and stuff, by all means, right? That's your purview. That said, just because someone gets accused of something doesn't mean they are guilty. That's not the way our system works. And that goes for any type of accusation. Mass demonization over someone or doxing them or, you know, doing something violent, breaking into their house or attacking them or any of this stuff, completely unwarranted, out of bounds, should not do it. Even if you're convinced that they're guilty of whatever it is they're being accused. That's not how the world, that's not how our system works. That's not how the law works. At the same time, if you are someone who is a friend of the person, or in this case, you know, you don't believe it, you don't see it and things like that, That doesn't mean you shouldn't be respectful to the people that are making the accusations. You also shouldn't go in that direction of like, well, just because I'm friends with this person, now I'm going to, you know, insult, attack, or anything to these people. But you're entitled to your opinion. And if they're not been proven guilty, there's no reason why you need to assume that they're guilty, right?
Yeah, right. And there are times when I myself have heard accounts from people that I have, you know, said to myself, pretty sure this happened, yeah. You know, and I don't need to wait for the court to establish one way or the other, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes the court is wrong, you know, and juries are wrong.
There was a case, you and I have a friend in common, Tall Rory, who many, many years ago, he had a run-in with someone that Tall Rory said stole something from him. And I knew this person superficially, but I knew this person. And honestly, his word was good enough for me to disassociate myself and never trust that other person. He could have been wrong. For all I know, he could have been lying. I don't believe so, but he could have at least been wrong. But for me, that was good enough. But that's different from, like, that's not a law consequence. That's just me assuming that my friend is right.
And another wrinkle to this is when accounts were coming out about Harvey Weinstein before he was convicted, accounts are coming out about Kevin Spacey and these kinds of things, mm-hmm. or the people coming forward don't want to go on, they don't want to publicly say their name or anything like that. There are times when it makes sense social justice wise to take all that into consideration and think, well, you know, given the scenario that these people are talking about, you know, it might have happened. Yeah. Having said all that, I agree with you in terms of we hate the notion that we don't know things, and we hate the notion that we'll never know something. You know, as I age, when I watch news stories or documentaries about this and that, you know, like Adnan from Serial. Did you ever listen to Serial, the podcast?
The original, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adnan, yeah.
Adnan, I can't remember. Everyone wanted to figure out.
Right. And we were sure or not, but that the conclusion was going to be what we thought it was going to be.
And they didn't, you know?
Right.
But we all wanted to know. Did he kill the...
We wanted it wrapped up nice and neat like in a movie.
Or was he falsely accused? Right. And so we have a really hard time with that, you know? Right. But even if a judge and a court, you know, finds the person, even if the person confesses to it...
Right. It's still not necessarily the case.
You'll never know. you'll never know because you weren't there. And even if you were there, how do you know your memory was right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's at that point you run into existentialism. But certainly, if you saw it with your own eyes and you have reason to feel you're not having delusions, that's probably the only time in life that you, only you...
Or a picture or video or something.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, at the same time, if here's an example that I've totally concluded without any final real evidence or anything. Bryan Singer, the director of movies like the X-Men, the last X-Men movie that came out, I skipped it. I did not watch it.
I did.
And the reason I didn't watch it is as a personal boycott because there are allegations that have come out against him that he, you know, abused young males. Now, I have no proof. I have no idea if this is real or not, but me personally, I decided, you know what? I believe it for my own set of reasons, so I'm going to not watch that movie. Right?
Okay.
And that's just, I mean, I can't prove it. That's just what I decided to do. So similarly, if you hear an allegation about someone and you form your own conclusion, as long as, I guess the difference is me not watching the movie doesn't really, it's not illegal for me not to watch the movie. It's not legal one way or the other. It's just me making a personal decision.
Yeah, it is weird. And I don't know what to think, honestly, as a citizen. As a therapist, like I said, everyone has to figure this out for themselves. But, you know, if for example, if Harvey Weinstein writes a book or OJ's book, you know, If I Did It.
Yeah.
I consider it a bit problematic to buy that book.
Yeah, right.
And so I have a line.
Yeah.
You know, and if Harvey Weinstein produces another movie somehow, right. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to see it.
That's true as well. Like, I probably wouldn't watch any new Kevin Spacey movies.
Right. So so you and I have a line.
Yeah, there is a line.
But so why does Woody Allen or even Roman Polanski, because I've watched his movies even after you know, all this stuff happened.
So some of it is the, you're right, because I don't know all the details, but Roman Polanski, wasn't that like with a 13-year-old or something?
Yeah, I can't remember the details. Something awful.
Which is clearly, yeah.
Well, I think he's even like, he can't come back to the United States.
Yeah, he cannot.
Yeah.
I will say my line, and this is, I'm sure, not right, but my line has to do more with how much I dislike the person.
Yeah.
And to me, someone like Harvey Weinstein is the kind of person that I would just dislike anyways.
Yeah.
And so in this case, my bias goes that way, and I'm like, okay. Oh, but that said, actually, I'm still a hypocrite, because guess what? There are many Harvey Weinstein-produced movies that I would probably still watch.
Yeah, absolutely. He's produced some of the best movies that have ever been made.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just can't let go of Ryan Seacrest. I just love...
I don't know that that's even a real... I thought that was discredited.
I'm joking, because what is he... I don't even know what he does.
Oh, I see. I thought you were being serious. Like, you know, he's such a lovable guy.
Or everything that John Lasseter has produced.
Oh, no. So that's a... Oh, Jesus, right.
You know?
Like, I'm boycotting Pixar. Really?
Yeah. Or Al Franken and the characters that he's played in different
comics. Okay, and now we get into
Louis C.K.
Now listen, now we get
What if Louis C.K. makes something after this?
Right, but see, this is what now we're getting into territory that is very controversial.
But what if Louis C.K. makes something new? Would you watch it?
I have no problem watching Louis C.K. stuff.
New stuff.
No, any stuff.
But you have a problem with what he did to those women.
Okay. Yes, but here's where it gets a little complicated. I think there's a subset of men out there that grew up in a time and place, which is most of us, where unfortunately...
Yeah, most of us grew up in a time and place.
Yeah. Where unfortunately, there were many things that were considered right, which now in our current cultural time are considered wrong.
Yeah.
One of them was, for example, calling gay people bad names and thinking of them as essentially bad, inferior or flawed people.
Yeah.
I grew up with that, right?
Yeah.
I also grew up thinking that it's absolutely perfectly okay to say completely sexist things all the time, because that's how we talk about women.
Yeah.
It's just what we do. It's locker room. Trump's right, you know, blah, 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 right? And so when I hear some stories, not all stories, not Harvey Weinstein stories, but when I hear some stories, like the Al Franken stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's sleazy, but that's so common. And so what ends up happening is I go, like, yeah, that's got to change. That's got to change. But what's hard to do is that the retroactive changing is the hard part. You cannot retroactively expect all these people, and this extends way beyond just these kinds of problems. And I'm even including, we've had these kinds of conversations how, look, I hate the people that are still in this country right now saying things like, black people are inferior, blah, 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 right? These kinds of things, right? But the problem is that I also know where they come from. I know why those people are saying what they're saying, right? So when I think of, like, the solution is to say no one should be racist. Well, that's a great idealistic thing to say, but that's not going to change things. So in a similar way, I say, look, consequences for the actions need to be on a scale, on a gradient. And when someone did certain things, it should be worse consequences for when they did other things.
Right.
And so I'm not on the page of some folks that feel like any offense is as bad as the worst offense. So long story short, when it comes to, at least when it comes to Al Franken, I go, yeah, that sucks. He was being creepy. And
okay,
stuff.
Well, let's rate. I want to hear your rating here.
All right.
Okay.
And I don't know all the data, so that might be a... But
do you know what John Lasseter did?
I don't know.
It was employees, I believe.
Yeah, employees.
Okay. Sexism. So obviously Harvey Weinstein is at the top, right?
It seems that way.
Well, I guess Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby and... Well, Bill Cosby might be worse because he was like drugging and raping.
Obviously, Bill Cosby is a monster, but Harvey Weinstein I might even make worse. I think his body count was higher, one. And two, Harvey Weinstein is a legit... Well, they're both serial...
Let's just group him in the same bucket.
Okay. Woody Allen. Okay, so rating on a scale from 1 to 10.
Well,
so Bill Cosby and Harvey Weinstein are a 10. What's Woody Allen?
If what we know is that he married his wife's daughter...
Well, he also did things to other kids.
Oh, to kids?
Yeah. Or adolescents.
Which means he probably got stuff done to him, like a lot of folks. And maybe. I don't know, maybe a 7 or something. I don't know the details, but it sounds maybe 7-ish.
Bill Clinton.
Well, man, if you believe some of the allegations, like he might be an 8.
Really? I thought he exposed himself to Paula... What's her name? Paula...
Well, yeah, right. Because what's hard to pick out is there's a lot of right-wing propaganda about him. And I'm not even talking about the murder stuff. I'm talking about that he would rape. So maybe I'm...
Yeah. Maybe we don't know. Kevin Spacey. I mean, you know that those.
Yeah, things. Kevin Spacey is probably a 7.
Okay. Louis C.K.?
Probably a 5.
Al Franken?
He's probably a 3.
Do you know what Matt Lauer did?
No.
Charlie Rose?
No. Oh, Charlie Rose, I know a little bit. Charlie Rose sounded a little more systematic, but it didn't sound like rape or anything like that. It was inappropriate touching and inappropriate like career type stuff. So probably a 6 or 5.
Where'd you put Spacey?
I 7, I think I said.
That seems high.
Well, didn't he? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought he did some pretty bad stuff with than one guy. Like, many guys came out.
Oh, really?
And were like, because weren't they afraid for their careers and blah, blah, blah.
I only know that one, the one guy that
came out. No, there were other guys that came out.
Okay.
Fine, I don't know, 6. we realize right now that the hate is being typed as we speak.
All right, let's take a break so that people can type those hate emails, and when we get back... we'll read those emails.
Right.
Okay, we're back from the break.
Dear Kirk and Berto, I love how you're sitting there laughing your asses off about such a serious topic and rating them as if you were rating beauty pageant contestants, which, by the way, shouldn't, because beauty pageants are sexist.
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall point is that everyone can agree that all this shit has to stop. And we can also agree that some of it particularly has to stop.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I've been bullied. I've been assaulted. And if someone takes a picture of themselves about to punch me in the face or sexually assault me while I'm sleeping, would I rather have that happen to me as opposed to being brutally raped in a hotel room?
Right.
I'm going to choose the former.
Yeah.
Do I want the former to happen? No.
No.
both of them have to stop.
Yep.
But we have to understand that there is a gradient level.
Now, at the same time, I will be... Now I'm going to say something empathetic or sympathetic about the counter-argument. I did have this argument that I got into not too long ago with a female. And the argument was because... It was right around this time, so the Harvey Weinstein, all these things, and we were, I forget how we got to this point, but essentially, it started from a point of agreement, but it got to a point where we were arguing against each other because the sense I got, I was talking about how I had been abused by a babysitter, when I was 5.
Oh yeah, I heard about this conversation.
And she was...
Right? Didn't I hear about this?
Yeah, thing? And she was saying... Sort of minimizing that and saying like, well, not explicit, but the impression I got was like, well, that's nothing compared to what I went through, right? And I do remember feeling in that moment like, there's something not right about that sentiment. Because when we start ranking these things,
well,
it gets tricky.
But that's a very different message. Like if someone told me that they were a victim of Al Franken's sexual assault,
yeah,
I would never say, well, come on. You know,
That's nothing compared to blah.
Like,
right.
Someone can, I know people who have been through, you know, in terms of your scale,
yeah,
a three, they've been through one event, a three, and it was traumatizing to them for 20 years.
Oh, and absolutely. And I'm the first to imagine that, like, well, like you were saying the comparison, would I have rather have happened to me what happened to me or been raped by a male, coach for 15 years in the locker room.
Yeah.
I know which is my answer.
Right.
Now, but does that mean, but you're right. That is a different thing.
That's a different thing.
Than lack of empathy and understanding that these are all the terrible things.
It also is a different thing than saying and diminishing someone's reaction to those things. So, sure. So the,
right, right. That's a good one.
Yeah. You know, for example, someone can go through a 10 and not be traumatized.
Yeah.
They can go through horrible things for 5 years and it shouldn't have happened and it's criminal and wrong, but they'll emerge from it for whatever reason. They just won't be traumatized.
That's such a good point because this is, you know, you hear this a lot, in the debates these days in our world. You hear things like, you had 200 years to pull yourself up by your bootstraps after the whole slavery thing ended. What's wrong with you? I came out from nothing. I'm fine. I'm doing fine. Or you hear it recently. I was watching someone say, hey, I immigrated. You know, my dad came here or whatever, and I was able to go through the system legally. What's wrong with you? And it's this like lack of empathy. Like just because I could do something or I overcame some challenge, you have to too. There's no reason why you should be so weak.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like that argument is, at the very least, it's completely lax in taking into account that the reality of the other person's situation is real to them.
Right. I think there's two false or wrong-headed ways of thinking in society when it comes to the Harvey Weinsteins and the Al Franken conversation. There's one wrong-headed way where people will be like, it's all the same.
Right.
You know, and I think what they're saying is,
and the punishment should all be the same.
Right. I think what they're saying is like, we can't.
Zero tolerance.
We can't tolerate any of it, which I agree with. But what they're also saying is like, we can't minimize the lesser offenses.
Right.
And they're also fighting against the other wrongheaded. It's a reaction to the other wrongheaded argument, which is like, oh, come on.
Oh, you got to get over that. Like, that's nothing.
What Al Franken did, not a big deal.
Just grabbed an ass, whatever.
Kevin Spacey, you know, it's all normal, right. You know. You know, Harvey Weinstein, now that's bad. But, you know, Kevin Spacey, let it go. You know, and what survivors or, you know, people who are sane, when they hear that, they'll be like, no. All of it has to stop. But the thing is for me, I can hold both. I can say there's a gradient and it all has to stop.
Right.
And small, quote unquote, small incidents can be extremely damaging
Absolutely.
To people, you know? So, for instance, just take myself. I've never gone through anything of a five or above in my life. But there are events in my life that I think about all the time that are like a three,
right?
On the scale that I've invented.
Yeah.
I've been through, you know, some twos and threes that were horrific for me.
Right.
And I suffered and am still suffering. And if anyone said to me, like, I don't deserve to suffer or, let it go, it's like, well, I wish I could let it go.
Right.
Like, but it got into my brain. You know what I mean?
So well, as an example, and I never even thought about this until I was in therapy and I was talking to my therapist about this one time. So when I was about probably around seven, I was in second grade, I think, my uncle committed suicide.
Yeah.
And my grandma was, of course, life-endingly devastated.
Her son.
And so I wasn't there, you know, of course, for the funeral and during that time. And she would latch on to me and hug me so tightly. And just, she was crying so hard and just screaming out in pain. Right. And so I always thought of it like, poor grandma. And, you know, I'm glad I was there for her. And then my therapist pointed something out to me, which was like, that might have been traumatizing to me because I was only seven. And here's this adult in an uncontrollable amount of pain, emotional pain and anguish, and hugging me for dear life. Right.
Yeah.
I never even thought of that. So what effects did that have on me? Like I never, you know, I never connected the dots easily, but it's interesting. That had nothing to do with abuse. It was she wasn't technically doing anything wrong, right? Like she's just a mother in grief, and she's got this grandson that she loves, and yet that experience can have such a lasting effect one way or the other on someone, right? So just imagine as soon as you have anything that is an adult figure I idolized one day touched me inappropriately. It only happened once, but if I never trusted anyone again, or,
yeah,
you know, or I ended up going into drugs as a result or whatever.
Right. So sometimes, particularly as men, we have to start with that.
Yeah.
And then we can say, and, you know, maybe there's a gradient, you know.
Yes.
But if you just say there's a gradient, it can give off this vibe, yes, like you're saying lower events should not be worried about. Let me just even put another thing on the gradient in terms of the woman who plays Cersei Lannister,
yeah,
Hedy, I can't remember her full name, but she was Harvey Weinstein never touched her or just touched her back as they were going up the elevator. Before going into the hotel room where Harvey Weinstein was going to try to do something, at the very last minute, she backed out.
Mm-hmm.
But in the elevator ride up and in the walk down the hallway, and as he was trying to convince her to go into the hotel room, it was traumatizing to her,
yeah,
because he was giving off this vibe of dominance and that he was going, right, to hurt her. And so she, and then when she, you know, came out of the hotel, she's crying and she was upset and traumatized probably by that for a long time, maybe still is.
Right.
Lena Headey,
right.
On the gradient went through like a two.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to put Al Franken as a three, we have to put her, yeah, I mean, in terms of physical markers of sexual assault, right? And it, you know, that might stick with her for the rest of her life.
Right.
The what really traumatizes, you know, if you get into a car accident and, let me be specific. Let's say you're driving down the road and all of a sudden there's this freak hailstorm and the roads get suddenly slick and a car starts to swerve and hits you.
Yeah.
That can be very scary. But in opposed to another instance, and I'll just stick with cars, your spouse gets really angry at you, gets in the car, and finds you as you're coming out of work and T-bones you and tries to kill you.
Right.
Okay, they're both car accidents.
Yeah.
But one involves kind of a freak accident of nature.
Right.
And another one involves a loved one
trying to kill you.
Trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Now, let's say in the one where your wife tried to run you over, you get a minor scrape. But in the hailstorm, you actually like break both your legs.
Right.
Well, depending on the circumstances, the scratch on your face is more traumatic and long-lasting and damaging to you than the broken legs because it involves someone that you trusted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, this human being that I trusted did this to me, and right, and now I can't trust anybody. Is,
right,
you know, if a loved one is capable of that, then any loved one is capable of anything horrible to me, and I completely lose my security situation. With the first situation with the hailstorm, all you got to do is like watch the weather reports, and you can, or no, never drive. You
right.
know, but with the wife, it's like, well, you know, what's stopping her from stabbing me in the middle of the night when, yep, I'm trying to sleep, you know?
Well, even so, if you have an example, also like imagine, you know, let's say a 15-year-old girl is in a party and some 16, 17-year-old boy from the school grabs her butt without permission. Okay. So She's upset about it. Okay. Same 15-year-old girl, or different, just another 15-year-old girl. Or let's just say same one. Is it a family event? And a beloved uncle grabs her butt in a sexual way. Same grabbing of the butt by a male. But one of them is probably has a lot more significance mentally, you know, maybe, and who knows, but
depending,
but the point is it's the same action.
right.
So you couldn't say it just goes to show you can't just say, oh, they're just grabbing your butt.
Right. So the whole gradient thing, to some extent is stupid. On some level, it makes sense. It's like, well, yeah. Harvey Weinstein is definitely higher up than the rest of them.
Let's just... And the law has to have that gradient, by the
right.
way.
But at the same time, we also have to say that the damage that some of these things can do is hard to determine based on like this gradient, because you can have a what would be considered by consensus to be lower on the gradient, but actually be more traumatic for that person given the circumstances.
Right. You know? Now, some of it too, some of the, at least on the lower end of the scale that we made up artificially, I do attribute it to sort of like general cluelessness as humans trying to sexually or romantically interact with other humans, or even relationship wise. And here's what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Our society gives messages to everyone regarding what is, you know,
appropriate or inappropriate.
Yeah, or yeah. You know, masculine kinds of things.
So I was in a situation many years ago where I was at a business that we were doing work with, and there was a receptionist at this business, and I struck up a conversation with the receptionist, and in my mind, we got along really great.
Oh no!
So I don't remember how, but we said, I think I said I was going to go down to take a walk nearby or something like that.
And so was this someone that kind of worked under you in a sense?
Not, it was a different company, but it was a company we were working with.
Like contracting.
Yeah. And this person was a receptionist at that company.
Oh no. And so Birdo.
Right. And so we hit it off. Well, I thought we hit it off. Right.
Right. You thought.
And we went for a walk and I got her number. Okay. I started texting her because I was trying to find out. We had talked about going to a show, I think it was like a rock show or something. So I texted her, and she said she couldn't. She had some excuse, like she was going to Vegas or something like this. Okay. That's what I knew. That was my perspective on this.
Did it ever occur to you that she might feel intimidated?
No, not at all. My perspective was, oh, we hit it off. We went for a walk nearby, and I got her number, and I think she's into me a little bit. That's what I thought. I got a call from...
HR.
No, because again, it's not my company, right? I got a call from the business rep from that company.
Oh, God.
And saying, hey, and it's a female. It's like, hey, I have a question for you. It's really awkward, but it sounds like you were texting such and such. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, because, like, and I don't remember the details, but it was something like...
Did your really, heart just plummet?
Yeah, right, because she really was feeling pressured or something like this.
Oh,
or something
my
like.
God.
And by the way, like, there was no touching, right? There was no touching involved.
No.
It was all just text, and it was text that I thought were not only fully consensual, but it was nothing even like...
Right, exactly, right? Exactly.
And yet, all of a sudden, I realized, oh... And so I was like fully apologetic. I'm like,
yeah,
well, I'm so sorry. I completely misjudged the situation. Right. And I explained everything that was going on in my head. And luckily in this case, this person had been through abusive situations at work. So I was generally empathetic. So I think she realized that in this case, this was a case that could be resolved this way. And it never went further than that.
Okay.
But it changed my perspective about everything.
Oh, good.
You know, this is a long time ago, but still, I was already a full adult, you know, in the working space, right? And in my mind, there was absolutely... And so what I'm trying to get at is, A, okay, well, now I'm less clueless. But B, what I was being clueless about was actually just simply, I thought she liked me.
Right, because one, as a male, you've never probably been in her shoes
That's
before.
Right.
Two, we don't do anything to educate men on this issue. I was pretty old before I figured this out, actually. Yeah. You know, I'm a man and had a man view of the world.
Right.
And I've talked about this before on the podcast. It was Rebecca Watson.
Oh, okay.
She was talking on a podcast about how she went to this convention, and she's a famous person in certain circles. And so in Vegas, and so she gets in, it's late at night, you know, it's midnight, she's going to go up to her room, and she gets into the elevator. Have I told you this story before? I probably have. I've talked about it on the podcast before. Anyway, she gets in the elevator, and this another guy gets in the elevator with her. No big deal, but it's just two people in an elevator going up to her room. And about halfway up, the guy turns to her, and he's big, and she's little. And he's like, "You're Rebecca Watson, right?" And she's like, "Yep." And he says, "Man, I love you know your stuff. It's so great." And she's like, "Oh, thanks." And then he's like, "So, do you want to come back to my room? We're having a party. There's going to be a bunch of people there. Just want to know if you want to hang out." And she's like, "Nope, just going to my room." And then, you know, she gets out of the elevator, goes to her room, and then she blogged about it or talked about it on a podcast and about she said something to the effect of, "Men out there, don't do this because it's terrifying to be stuck in a box with a large man as I'm heading up to my room, and you are asking me to go to your hotel room. Like, that is extremely bad form. Don't do that." When I first, and I was a it was a huge conflict.
I can imagine,
In the scientist skeptical world, which is the world she's in.
Oh, I remember this. Oh, I totally remember this. Yes. A lot of YouTube. Yes. I in fact, there's this guy Thunderfoot that I remember made a video about it. I totally remember this now.
Right.
Absolutely.
Even,
it's so funny. As you were telling this story, I'm like, I've heard this before.
Richard Dawkins spoke out against Rebecca Watson.
Yeah, I know. I now know exactly what this was, yes.
So Richard Dawkins, famous for his lectures on evolution and speaking out against intelligent design. And what's his famous book that Richard Dawkins
used to have?
Well, anyway, famous guy. And respected. And one of Rebecca Watson's heroes who's like talking shit about him or her. So when I first heard the story,
The selfish gene.
Okay. And Richard Dawkins invented the word meme.
Yep.
So when I, or at least popularized it, I don't know.
No, it was he coined the term.
Okay. So when I heard this story from Rebecca Watson, I felt the same way as Richard Dawkins.
And I did too.
I was like, what? Like, he was just being nice.
Yep.
And he didn't pressure you. When you said no, he was like, cool. And that was that. Like,
I mean, I guess what was going through my head was, yeah, I can see your point, but at the same time, my question was, how are guys supposed to hit on girls?
Right. So it's like, it felt like, wait a sec. And I remember, but I'm a man, and I've never been in a woman's shoes in a situation like that. Once she started explaining it, it took me a while for my brain to kind of get what she was saying. And then I understood it. In the same way that when you were accused or, you know, given the message of like, look, this girl this whole time has not been interested in you.
Yeah.
And, she feels really uncomfortable.
Right.
You instantly decided, oh, she's not crazy. I didn't do it on purpose.
Right.
So I'm not interpreting the world well enough to understand.
I'm misinterpreting something.
Right. Yes. I need to now figure this out. Well, that's what I did with Rebecca Watson. Eventually, I was like, okay, I got to figure this out because I really respect her.
Right.
I've met her actually before. Once she started explaining it to me, I was like, it clicked in my head. And for those who don't get it already, because many of you probably do, women are victims of assault way more often in situations like this than men are. And that knowledge is out there, one. Two, rape is much more prevalent from men to women. Three, when you're going up to your room and you're alone and a large man is in your, you know, in this elevator with you, you're not, it's unfair to accuse you of being a rapist, but it's understandable that a woman would have a little bit of fear in, yeah, in that situation. She's not, Rebecca Watson wasn't like, that guy's a rapist. She's just like, there's a chance he's a rapist. And right, if he's, and there's a much, and to the man, he doesn't have that context either because statistically it's not likely or the propaganda hasn't gotten to his head or the scaremongering on news. Where the man gets into the elevator, he is not afraid of tiny Rebecca Watson.
Right? Yeah, not only that, but like percentage-wise, it's a very small percentage of men that randomly rape women.
Right.
So a man wouldn't automatically assume like, oh, I might rape this woman right now.
You right, know? Right. And Rebecca Watson knows that. She when she looks at the man, she's not like, 50% chance this guy's going to rape me. She's looking at him like, there's a 1% chance, but what if...
And so I'm totally fine with this argument as long as, and this is where it gets tricky, we're also okay with, say, an elderly white man or even not so elderly being uncomfortable in an elevator when a large person of color walks in. Or if a person is walking through the airport and they see, you know, someone with a long beard and a turban, if they feel a little uncomfortable.
Well, okay, so there's nothing wrong with a feeling.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not even equivalent, like statistically or anything. I'm not saying they're all the same, whatever. I'm just saying, I feel, you always talk about empathy, and I feel like we sometimes want our cake and eat it too, and we don't understand why someone of a different background or whatever would feel fear or feel something or other about other people.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, just like it makes sense that a woman who's aware of how she is smaller and how things happen and all these things would find that statement intimidating, right? And even just the presence of her alone in the elevator intimidating. I think that's why we have to sometimes understand why some people would fear immigration and some people would fear some big black person attacking them. It's not right. In this case, he was probably not a rapist, right?
Right.
But the fear is not... Like, you can't accuse the person of being mean or whatever. And then she was also making a different point, which was, don't ask me to come to your room.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Like, that's that makes it creepier.
Yeah. In that scenario, it's like you're introducing a thing that is forward and sort of suggests, like, you went from a 0.5% chance you're a rapist to, like, a 3% chance you're a rapist.
Right. Like, it's not that it's extreme, but imagine... I walk into an elevator and there's a nice little group of older ladies and I say, do you know what a Colombian necktie is?
Yeah.
And I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Now, the other thing I want to comment on, and I've never really thought about it before, but because my basic premise is like, even if it is not likely to be accurate feeling in terms of the fear, we have to respect it as men and understand it and take it into account and have empathy for it. And so the example would be if we rewound the tape, we would say, dude, don't say anything to her. Like, just be you're in a locked box with her. Don't freak her out. Just leave her be. And by all means, don't ask her to go back in your hotel room. Or at the very least, just be like, hey, I love your stuff. Have a great day or something, you know,
right.
Like, but don't like start heading in a direction of
it's
of
like that. If a black person gets pulled over by a cop in an inner city and the cop says, please get out of your car or lay down on the ground, that black person, I would not blame them if they thought they were in real danger. Right.
Right.
So,
right. So, but you brought up a thing. It's like, okay, say a white person has fear of a black person just because they're black.
Right.
That's a, to me, it's the same in terms of its mechanics.
The prejudice is a prejudice, but it's based right. on some percentage of something, but, right?
But it's problematic because black people are the people who don't have power, and because of the power differential, the powers that be have labeled them as criminals. You know what I mean? Whereas the female-male thing,
right.
it's the male people who have had the power. So right. it's a bit different. Now, there is another nuance to this.
Sorry, although you're absolutely right. The problem is that in both cases, a statistic is applied to the individual. And in the mind of the white person in this hypothetical scenario, they have heard there's a lot of crime in inner cities, or they might live near to an inner city. They might have experienced crime, and inner cities, there's a lot of minorities in inner cities. And so then you're not going to stop to analyze why are these minorities victims for decades and decades and centuries? And therefore in that moment, they're just going, this could be a criminal and I might be in danger. But if that person then says something like, hey, what kind of wallet do you have? Now my alarms are really going off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And in the case of the woman, she might be already going, uh-oh, I'm in an elevator with a tall man. Well, the tall man's done nothing. Tall men don't do things, right? But then the tall man says, do you want to come back to my room?
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Another situation that relates to this is, when I was younger, I used to work with, before I was a therapist, I would work with teenagers and kids. I would take them out to the community. We'd go to the library and the pool and stuff. And I visibly looked like I was young. You know, I dressed like a young person. And I would get the strangest looks from people, because I'm Asian. I don't look related to this kid. And people would just... women particularly would just stare at me because they think like, is this guy some kind of creep?
Right.
The other thing is I would bring the kids to places where kids played.
Is this where you had long hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. That would have been, yep. Cause you look so rebellious.
Yeah. I had really long,
right.
Dark, like,
you look like Brandon Lee,
kind of crazy black hair, And so, people would stare at me and, the first little bit of time, I was like, well, whatever. But over time, I got real sick of it.
Right.
And I was like, so just because I'm a 20-something male, there's this assumption that I'm a rapist.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's totally unfair.
Right.
Like, I should be able, like, if I was a woman, there'd be no question.
Yeah.
Or if I was older, like an older woman,
right.
There'd be no question. But somehow, because I'm a man, I'm automatically racist. That doesn't feel good to me.
Now, the flip side of this is I'm actually so aware of this nowadays, kind of this sort of aspect of it, that when I'm walking like late at night or walking and there's a woman by herself, either coming my way or nearby, I actually go out of my way to appear very non-threatening.
Right.
Like I look down. I
good for you.
Because I'm actually... I can now empathize more with that perspective right. of like, I know I'm not going to do anything wrong, but I can imagine that fear of like, uh-oh, I'm alone.
Right. It's similar to if, let's say you deal in swords and you frequently have to carry pole arms, like spears, like you have to walk from your workshop to your other workshop through the city, and you have to carry a bunch of spears.
Yep.
Well, you're not going to spear anybody with your spears. You know that you're fine. Or better yet, you deal in replica guns. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, right, right. They're not. They're really not harmful.
Yeah,
right.
they're replica. They're fake guns for movie sets. And you have to walk down the street with like AK-47s right. and AR-15s. And for whatever reason, you don't put them in a box because you're an asshole.
And then you're walking by with them and people are looking and you're like, what? What? I don't have a right to walk down the street?
Yeah. They're fake.
You should know they're fake.
You know they're fake and you know you're not going to do anything because you couldn't even if they were.
Right.
But it's all about empathy. So when you see this woman walking down the street, you're just like, I know I'm not going to hurt her.
Right.
But I I've never been in her shoes where I have to walk around basically wondering, is this the guy? Because that's the thing that Rebecca Watson taught me was like, women walk around basically in a constant state of like, is this when it happens? Is this when it happens again? Yeah. Is this the scenario where I get raped again? Yeah. Is this that story that I heard other women talk about? Is this when it happens to me?
Right.
Or, you know, because it's so prevalent that it happens to women, you know? And so that's what they're walking around in. You and I, you know, whether it's rational or not, it probably is rational. You and I don't walk around going, is that woman going
to
rape me?
The closest I can actually relate to is, first of all, walking by myself in Bogota in the streets when I was young, and actually definitely now, but definitely also when I was young. That was in my mind, right? Because you're always like, oh, wait, is this where I get held up? And that was a thing.
Right.
And it's because it was so common. So essentially, you know, like my friend got held up at knife point, his bike was stolen, you know, my dad was held up at gunpoint and his wallet was stolen. Like these things happen, right?
So
and
wait, so, I'm going to Colombia with you.
Well, this was in a long, long ago, right? And if you go south in Bogota,
okay,
you're dumb. So if you're in like the normal northern parts of the city.
The hotel I'm staying in is like...
It's a nice area.
It's like a half mile from where you're staying, isn't it?
Yeah. But I mean, like you've been to Greece and Italy, right? You've been to Italy?
Not Italy, but Greece, yeah.
You don't just like, here, hold my expensive camera. Like,
right.
You got to have your wits about you.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was in Athens, there's this one kind of bizarre like market area. And as soon as and I'd heard about all these horror stories about pickpocketing and everything.
Right.
And I, you know, I kept my eyes and wits about me. And I was in some pretty like shady parts of Athens,
right,
actually. I wasn't bothered by it at all until I walked into this one market area. It's like at the center of Athens kind of a thing. And it was the middle of the day, but as soon as I walked into it, I was like, oh, something does not feel right here. Like there was just something about the vibe. Yeah. Like I just felt like if I was a pickpocket, like this is the place. Because there were so many, it was like Grand Central Station. There were so many people and crowds and vendors and random people walking up to you and selling you things. And right away, and I always have a man purse, you know, so it's like, it's not even in my pockets. You know, it's like all you'd have to do is just like grab my man purse.
Oh,
and I saw these three guys kind of eye me, what I mean? And I instantly I kind of did this show, like I grabbed my bag and I was like, I got my bag, like double-handed, motherfucker, like try to take it from me.
Okay, so I just thought of another thing that I can relate to in this vein, which is sad to say, but
having said that, Athens was beautiful
city.
Everyone was really nice. It was at the time when all the news stories going to America was that it was burning down and like the financial crisis.
And that was not your experience.
And I just have to say like it was not like that at all.
So I can relate to another aspect, which is sad to say, but it is true. When I walk into a place that has a lot of certain kind of white people, I do get a little nervous. And what I mean by that is...
Like the hoods are going to come out?
Yeah, like if it looks like they are very...
Macho.
Pro-America.
Well, what are you worried about exactly? Like getting into an argument or something?
That they'll be aggressive towards me.
Like physical?
Yeah. Verbal. But it's never happened.
Yeah.
But I am afraid of it. And I mean, it's not something I fear daily. It's just like I remember having walked into certain bars or certain things where I'm like, mentally, I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-oh. No, yeah, I've been there too, for sure.
Now, and this is here in this area. Granted, it's worse. I've noticed it's worse. My feeling of it is worse as I go further east. Like if I travel east in the mountains or, you know, whatever, and I go further east because it gets more rural. It gets more...
Oh, like Eastern Washington?
Yeah, that kind of thing. But I cannot even imagine if I were like in the southern states and I was in a... Like, I would probably get really nervous.
Yeah.
So that is real. You know, that's a...
Right. But the other thing you brought up earlier, which I'd never... And I don't have a well thought out thought about this, but... So we're saying that even though you and I are not rapists, if we see a woman and it's a context where she might be worried we're going to rape her,
we go out of our way to say, these are not real guns.
Yeah. Right. We don't ask them questions. We steer clear of them.
Yes.
We give, you know, like.
I eat soy.
There are certain times when, like, I'll be walking behind a woman. For whatever reason, we randomly start walking down the sidewalk together. And if I walk my normal pace, I'm like right behind a woman. You know?
Oh.
And so what I'll do is I'll just slow down.
Right.
Or actually I'll walk I'll speed up and walk in front of them, you know, and then they have the upper hand because they're behind
me. I meant it a little different. I meant that I pull out my penis and show them that it's not erect.
God.
Just to calm them down.
So your other question was, you know, say there is an old white woman.
Right.
And she grew up in a time when, you know, black people were black people and white people were white people or whatever. And she's, you know, been fed the propaganda that black people are, you know, more likely to be criminals or something. And is the black man supposed to be extra nice to her to account for her racism that he's a criminal?
No, but he shouldn't say things like, that's a very nice purse you've got there.
But what if it was like something that he had to do, you know, like,
because you know the guy didn't have to invite her to the room,
right.
So and there's more to this, because the counter argument for this was, and I was on that boat, was he was being nice. Yeah. So it's harder to say like, hey, that's a nice purse you've got there, but he could be being nice, right?
Yeah.
But the context is, look, she's an older lady, you're a big buff dude in an elevator saying that you like her purse. I mean, that's, how do you think that could be interpreted?
Yeah.
So she's a smaller female. You're a big dude. You're saying, come to my room. How do you think that could be interpreted?
Maybe what it is even if it comes from a bad place like racism, in individual moments, we should all try to be nice to each other if it doesn't take much effort. But we should also overall try to change our society so that women, old women, aren't taught that all black people are criminals. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And actually, because totally. And even if you don't go with any racial preconceived notions, because isn't my assumption that if I walk into a place with certain types of white people, blah, 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 isn't that some racial bias?
Yeah.
Right. But it is based on things that have happened, right?
So, well, the more accurate question is the question we were applying to us is, what's the chance that those 10 white guys are going to kill you or do anything to you?
Right.
The chance is very slim.
But if I walk in and they say, and this is why I think it's so different, if I walk in and they say, oh, where are you from? Or something like that, they might mean it nicely, but it will probably put me on high alert.
Yeah.
So the case is, the guy has no, what is he supposed to exit the elevator just because she walked in? No, that's unfair, right? So he's in the elevator, she's in the elevator. Fine. He could say hello, right? Now that might still have triggered her, in which case now it's starting to get harder to defend. But the guy said, hey, why don't you come to my room? Right. And I'm just saying, and I didn't agree with this before, but now I'm agreeing. I'm saying, hey, let's be a little more self-aware.
Well, no, that's not how I would phrase it, because I don't think that's fair to the guy. I think what it should be is, hey, let's all do our part to try to understand other groups of people and their experience and what freaks them out. Because my guess is that guy, if he knew, regardless of the reason, that asking her to go to his room or whatever would have scared her, he wouldn't have asked her.
I guess that's what I meant by self-awareness.
But that's self-awareness is actually counter, because if he was self-aware, he's like, well, whatever.
I'm okay. Context awareness.
Context awareness, sure. Absolutely. Sure. And that.
But fine. It's a semantic point. People usually say, like, dude, you got to be a little more self-aware of context. But fine, whatever. I mean, context awareness.
Because honestly, the self-awareness, he could have been extremely self-aware. Sure. Like, well, context awareness. I'm okay. I know
or
I'm
context
not.
Empathy or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, context empathy, which actually requires everyone to listen and talk more about this. You know, the fact that I, late in my life, hadn't really understood this, I think is a product of I wasn't given enough opportunities to understand it. You know, there weren't enough people explaining it to me or something, because I don't remember. I mean, of course, it might have happened where someone had really explained that to me, what it was like to be a woman in a context like that. And once Rebecca Watson did that, and it only took probably like 10 minutes, I was like, oh, I mean, this light bulb just went off, and suddenly, like, many contexts made sense to me, you know, like catcalling and you're the only girl at a party, for example, and there's a lot of drinking going on. You know, it's like, well, me and all my friends, none of us are going to rape you. Like, why are you worried? But I get it now. It's like, you know, it I can see it from that group of people and where they are in the context. You know, it's an interesting thing.
Yeah. And, you know, take the a Muslim person wearing, you know, a turban or whatever, like, clothing it is. I'm obviously very insensitive. But they walk into an elevator with a, you know, middle of the country, white, older person. And they're both in the elevator. At the end of this ride, the white person says, "Oh, my God, I was scared for my life." Okay, I'm like, okay, you got to calm down. That's irrational.
Right.
On the other hand,
not because it is irrational, but because there is plenty of data in our society that can tell you that you should not be worried.
Well, but there's also about men. You know, like, the percentage of men that rape is small. So percentage of Muslims that are terrorists is small. Right? So you shouldn't be afraid of that person in either case. But the difference...
No, I disagree. The amount... The percentage of Muslims who are terrorists in that scenario is almost zero. The percentage of men who are sexual assaultive potentially is far from zero. You know,
yeah, but I could change the setting slightly to be like, she's traveling in Dubai, or she's... You know, she's in a place of the world where actually the percentage isn't zero. And it's still an individual.
Yeah.
It's still an individual. But if that individual, as they're in the elevator, says, what, you know, like, these might be our last moments or something, you know, I don't know, right? But like, there must be an equivalent thing that, and he could mean it really nicely. Like, you never know in life, you know, these could be our last moments. But no. That alarms are going to go off in that person's head.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to, there's a lot of squishy, and there's no clear line, and there's no clear prescription of behavior, other than to say, which I feel pretty good about, which is we all need to do our part to try to understand different groups of people in their context. And even if it's irrational for them to have that fear, we can't stop that in that moment. And I think we're still responsible on some level to do what we can. You know, if there's no way around it, I don't know, it's your job to get into an elevator and wear a turban and say, this might be our last moments. Yeah. Like, you're going to get fired from your job or whatever. like there's certain things you have to do, I guess, but we have to, you know, be aware of what other people are afraid of, and not use our self-awareness as a guide for what might actually be scary to someone else based on our behavior. The second thing is we have to do what we can to account for that. We have to try to have empathy and try to care. The third thing is we have to really try to help everyone understand what stereotype and bias is, and what's rational to think and what's irrational to think. And what I will not say is that at the end of that process, we would conclude that man in the elevator is not a risk. You know, I think that sexual assault is so prevalent, you know, like comparing it to a Muslim doing, you know, a suicide bomb is like not a good analogy.
Yeah, but inner city violence is very common. And I still don't think it's right to be biased towards a person in the inner city just because you're next to them, right? Like, proximity to someone in an area or whatever. Like, the point is, the percentage should not guide your, I mean, unless it was like 99%, like, you know, an individual is an individual. Not the group.
Yeah. And also, the other thing is Rebecca Watson never said something like, this guy needs to be locked up.
Right.
Or, right. I hate him.
Yeah, it was just...
She was actually... What she did was, she just gave... It all started when, on a podcast, she's like, guys out there, just don't do that.
Right.
Like, she wasn't super angry. She was just like, guys out there, just, you know, don't ask me to come to your room, because that's not cool.
And actually, the reason I now appreciate that, I didn't agree with that time. Now I appreciate it, is because one of my points is, it is hard to be a male in this perspective. Males are expected to be the ones that ask.
Oh, wah.
No, fine, right? But it is, the expectation is, if you want a girlfriend, if you want to have sex, you gotta make the moves, dude. It's the male's job. It's blah, blah, blah.
And that's right? You know, we can debate, you know.
And I'm not saying that it is right or wrong. I'm saying that's the perception.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that's often what is required, because women are socialized
and guess what?
To not do stuff
like that. And just like there are percentages, but there's more men than not are not great looking. You know what I mean? Like, Brad Pitt because he's a minority.
Wait, I just want to hear that sentence again. More men than not are not great looking.
So what happens is, there are a lot of men out there that are like trying to make something happen, and a lot of them make wrong mistakes.
Yeah.
And this guy might have made a wrong mistake.
Right. And, you know, when I hear men's rights activists talk in this, you're not talking this way. But they'll use that as like, you know, this, they'll just throw their hands up like,
what are we supposed to do?
And if anyone out there is thinking that, let me tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to try to understand how your behavior affects other people.
And that's why I'm saying that I appreciate her saying that, because she's actually giving us feedback.
Yeah.
She's saying, hey, but now I would like to hear some of the things she would like us to do,
right?
But okay, so we shouldn't approach you in an elevator late at night and ask you to come to our room.
Yes,
fine. Okay, I didn't know that, but okay.
Right. You know, a lot of other contexts, like you're down in the casino, for example,
right?
And you walk up to her and you say, "Hey, are you Rebecca Watson?" And you know, she's like, "Yep." And you're just like, "Hey, I really love your stuff." And she's like, "Great." And then you say, "Hey, would you? I don't know. I'm hanging out with my friends over here at this bar. Would you like to hang out with us?"
Right.
You know, I would imagine that would be that she would not be scared of that. That's the thing. Like, when I almost said the wrong statement, I almost said that would be fine.
Right.
Right. That would be okay. And that implies there's like rules.
Right.
There's no rule other than don't be a dick.
Right.
And try to figure out how you are interpreted as a dick, you know? So the key is understanding what scares other people and what makes other people feel uncomfortable, because no one wants to make someone else feel uncomfortable. But when we frame it as rules and offense and appropriate, that's when a lot of men freak out, because they're just like, so I don't understand the rules. But if you just tell them a simple rule of, don't scare the girls. They're like, okay, I don't mind that rule.
No,
and then you say, and there might be some situations that you wouldn't intuit would scare them.
Well, what I would like to say is something like, there are extremes that we could agree on fairly easily. For the rest of it, and I'll just quote you, I would like both sides to have more empathy with each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
That way, hey, if someone said something, but they probably didn't mean it. Like, just educate them.
Yeah.
And let's move on.
Absolutely.
Let's not like, that's the end of our relationship. You're done. You said the wrong.
Okay. And Rebecca Watson was like that. When she first came out, she just said, don't do that.
That's why I'm saying I appreciate it. Because part of the problem, like, look, we grew up with movies. And I'm not even talking about the ancient movies. Swingers. Did you watch Swingers?
Yeah.
I love Swingers.
Yeah.
Guess what? In the casino, the nice guys trying to be like, don't say that to those waitresses. They don't want to hang out with us or whatever. And Vince Vaughn's like, hey, why don't you bring some sweeties later tonight and we'll hang out? And guess who wins that exchange? the bad guy. Not the bad guy, but like the badass guy, right? He's like straightforward. He's like, bring your sweeties. He's just in command. He's like, come to our room. He literally says, come in. And so.
But he doesn't say that way.
Well, fine, right? But I'm saying like we get this notion of like, okay, the lesson here is the nice guy doesn't have a clue, does definitely not get laid. The guy who's like straightforward, like, right. Come with us, bring a honey. He's like, bring the honeys, bring the babies, beautiful babies, the honeys. That's what we grew up with. And that's not even an extreme because he didn't technically like, you know, do anything abusive, but he was very direct and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah.
So guys are like, oh, okay, I should go up to women and be like, come with me. I'm going to kiss you on the lips.
Well, that's not what Vince Vaughn did, but 9 times out of 10, or more, you ask a waitress in a Vegas casino to hang out with, you know, you later after you get off of your shift, it's not going to be received
right.
Well.
And what about all those scenes in the movie where the guy is ambivalent about, there's no relationship yet, but he walks back in, grabs her, right. And kisses her right in the lips.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right?
So we've,
isn't that the way we should do it?
Right. So we've, you know, movies are made to appease in a lot of instances to at least some group of the audience's fantasy. And James Bond, you know, enacted these fantasies of power and elegance and style and rapey McRaperson kind of stuff, you know. And so, yeah, absolutely. Those messages are awful. You know, we've had this conversation before, but I guess it bears repeating that, we live in a complex world. And there are men's rights activists, you know, MGTOW people,
toggles.
Who are confused and they're hurt and they've been rejected and they're angry and they feel neglected. And all that is fine. The answer is not to adopt the internet point of view that you're doomed and that women are out to get you. The answer is like, you know, maybe just ask around a little bit more. also, there are a lot of men out there who are either awkward or just don't have a good game, so to speak. Game in the sense of like they're not comfortable enough to kind of be fluid and when they talk to women for the first time. And they're lonely and they're hurting and they don't know what to do. And there are toxic answers to that and there are helpful answers to that. The helpful answer is there is an answer to the question, and a lot of people suffer when they date. Like right. the most charismatic person on the planet has trouble dating in today's world, you know, or probably always, you know. It's hard to find the right one. It's hard to find one that you like, that likes you, that has the same circumstances, and, you know, and it takes time. And there's a lot of confusion, but you have to have an open heart and believe in human beings, you know, like, and also the flip side that you're saying is if you are put upon and someone is making kind of what seems to be an obvious mistake, try to give them the benefit of the doubt and think and say to yourself, well, they probably didn't mean to do that. And they're probably just unaware. What can I say to them that would help them understand? You know, the example that I always think about was when the internet was first invented and forums first started popping up, there was this Dungeons and Dragons forum that I went on, and people were talking about halflings, which are like hobbits.
Right.
And we were in this forum, and I was getting nervous. I wanted to comment, you know, I wanted to say something. And so I commented, I joined into the conversation, and I used the word midget. And this is like 20 years or, you know, 15 years ago. And people attacked me for using the word midget. At the time, I did not know that was an offensive
term.
Right. I had never heard that. Like, I'd missed that memo completely.
Right.
And that was 15, 20 years ago. I'm traumatized by it. And to this day, I barely communicate in those ways online, you know, on Reddit and stuff because I was traumatized by that because I don't trust myself. It's like, what if I make another mistake that? And what the people were assholes to me, what they should have said, I mean, they should have read my, because it wasn't like I was like fucking midgets. You know, what I said was, well, it's sort of like with midgets, you know, I was just using it in context. It was clear I just didn't know that was an offensive term. And what someone should have said was, So I know you didn't mean it this way.
FYI.
I'm pretty sure this is an offensive term, and you might have missed the memo.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal, but maybe don't use that word anymore. But that's not what they said. Because people want to, they have a projective identification. They want to displace. They want to take all their hurt and anger from previous situations out on you.
Yeah.
And so we all just have to be careful about stuff like that, because it doesn't always necessarily further. You know, when the person commit, like, I could have in that instant been like, fuck you people, I'm always going to use the word midget, you assholes.
Yeah.
I did. Okay,
guys, I'm going home.
I didn't do that, but, you know, I could have.
Yeah.
Whereas if they were nicer to me, I would have been less at risk of doing that. You know?
Right.
Anyway. So what's the last word on this, Berto?
It's complicated, man. You know, the more I think about it, it really does come down to putting yourself in other people's shoes, and both at the same time, dialing it down. Like, you don't have to go to 11, you know, just because you feel the person offended you or something. At the same time, be aware of the context, you know, be aware of how the other person might feel about something. And if you can do something to make them feel more comfortable, and when it comes to specifically to guys saying things, I do think... There are some things that us guys can do to not appear extra creepy. One of them is, if you're in an elevator late at night with a woman you don't know and she's much smaller than you, and you say, "Hey, come to my room," that's probably not the best answer.
Or you're walking. What are some other situations? Like, you're walking down.
So a
dark alleyway, and there's a woman that's coming.
And just you're making like eye contact the whole way with her. Yeah. Because it's like, what do you? Is that the moment? Like, you know, flip it around. Is this the moment I meet the one? Like, well, I don't know. It's like you're both tired. It's late at night. You're in a dark part of the street. And
well, okay. So let's walk ourselves through that.
Yeah.
So if I, knowing what I know, if I was in that mode, like, ooh, a cute woman.
Right.
You know, what if I want to? What if she's the one? She seems like, you know, maybe I saw her earlier.
Right.
And I, you know, this is the moment where I want to talk to her. But we're in a dark alley.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, mental calculation. She is probably going to be afraid. She might not be, but she probably will be afraid if I open my mouth or even kind of draw my attention
to
her. Yeah. It's probably going to be scary. And she might even comply because she doesn't know what to do because she's worried I'm going to hurt her, you know? But what if she is the one? Okay.
Yeah, just
so let's brainstorm answers. Because what, you know, the MGTO people will say is like, well, you're just fucked, man. You know, just write it off.
Wrong,
like,
if you're wrong, you're wrong if you're wrong.
You're screwed either way. So, you know, but like,
the right answer is to ask her, are you the one? Like, point at her and loudly say, are you the one? Yeah.
So let's walk ourselves through it. You know, maybe one thing to do would be to, like, let her pass, and then you then
wait a minute.
like a while down, maybe you
follow her. No. See, you're screwed if you do, you're screwed if you don't. No, I just think you don't have a good answer there, man.
Like, let's think. Like maybe I'm just gonna say this out loud because it sounds like it might be stupid, but I'm just gonna brainstorm. So she passes by and you pass by, you don't do anything. And then you get like, say, 50, 70 yards from her, and you just say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't want to freak you out, but
you're really cute.
But I wanted to only do this from 70 yards so you wouldn't worry I was some creep."
And it's been a long time since I've talked to a woman.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Can I call you an Uber?
Yeah, I guess the answer is you just don't
that
do
one,
it.
That's the one that got away, man.
Yeah. You missed your opportunity at the party earlier.
Yeah, if it's different if it... Look, first of all. Right. If you had a conversation and then you're like, well, hey, do you want me to call you a car? Are you okay? Like, that might be... But if you don't really know her and it's late and it's dark and it seems like a power imbalance, based on all these conversations, I'm like... If anything, if you want to do your part in this world, maybe as she passes, look around, make sure there's no one else around that could have negative intentions towards her.
Yeah.
Other than that, the ship sailed, like ships in the night. Yeah. And, well, and maybe you'll run into her tomorrow. And she, you know what she'll say? Hey, I really appreciate that you didn't. Or she'll say, you doofus, I was trying to make eye contact with you. Why do you men never read the signals?
So going back to your situation at work,
yeah,
where you, let's start from the very beginning. Yep. Like there's some interaction where you had to interact with the receptionist, right?
Yep.
Let's say you wanted to see if she was interested. Is that situation the same? Are you supposed to say, look, my organization contracts their organization. Yep. She's already in a power imbalance. There's no option here.
No, I gotta wait. Yes. In that case, you just gotta wait till you don't have the power imbalance. And then if you want to try. The one thing that you can't protect from, by the way, is so let's say it wasn't a work situation. Let's say I went in to use the bathroom at that place or whatever, and I just see this receptionist. We have no relationship whatsoever professionally at all. And I go and I talk to her, and for whatever reason, well, because she's a receptionist or a nice person, she's nice to me, and I interpret that as like, oh, I think she's into me. I ask for her number, and she's the kind of person that is afraid to not comply with that kind of request, so she gives me her number, because she gave me her number, right? And then later, I'm texting her, and then I get a little, maybe innuendos, right? She's completely uncomfortable, and she stops texting me. And I don't know why she stopped texting me. Maybe later I find out she was completely uncomfortable. That could still happen. And there was actually little wrong that I did. Like, nothing, really. Like, I just was trying to get it on with her, right? I was just trying. get along. But yes, sure, get it on, right? But this is different. There was a power imbalance. And I didn't know. I wasn't aware that I really didn't have that in my head of, oh, because if you had asked me beforehand, hey, Berto, don't you think this is a power imbalance? I would have said, like, what are you talking about? First of all, completely different company. She doesn't work for me. I don't care. Like, right? But I didn't have the context. Like, oh, yeah, of course. She needs to comply with this. This is the client. The client is coming in. I should be nice. Oh, he wants to go for a walk, or I guess I should probably go along with this, but I don't feel right. Or she, like, here's the other possibility. She was maybe sort of into me, and then I was too pushy, and then she wasn't, and then she felt uncomfortable. You never know. But the fact is, there was a power imbalance. I shouldn't have even gone down that path.
Right.
Right. But where it does get a little...
I mean, in a world where you have Tinder, why are you doing stuff like that?
And so it does get difficult, though. Is like at the workplace, people could not be managing each other at all, maybe not even the same team. They're in the cafeteria. The one person approaches the other one and tries to invite them to a movie or something. And then the other person still gets uncomfortable. There's some stuff you actually can't help, right? Because it's like, well, what are we supposed to never approach the other, the other sex or even the same sex or whatever? Like, and that I think is where both sides, like I sort of think if you get approached by someone and get propositioned, maybe a mental exercise to try to do quickly in that moment is, if I was really into this person, like if it was like just my type, would I have a positive or negative reaction to this kind of approach? Number one. Now, I'm not saying that then therefore you have to go along with it. I'm just saying ask yourself that question. And number two, if you were doing the approaching, how would you like to be treated right now? Because then if it's not something you're into, fine, but be empathetic that they were just trying. Now, if what they're asking, if you ask yourself those questions and the answer is like, actually, I would never say that to someone, or even if this person was the best looking person in the world and they said this to me, I'd still be offended. Well, actually, that's a different situation, that they probably offended you for real, right? And so if someone walks up to you and it's like this scenario we're talking about, you're walking late at night and then I look over, I'm like, hey, where are you going, right?
No, you wait 70 yards and then
you're like, hey, I didn't want to scare you because I know this time of night, lots of guys could be trying to rape you. Oh my God. Can you imagine? The only thing that comes to mind is that scene in American Psycho where he's crossing and then stops and gets in sync with the lady, and they start crossing together. Uh-huh. And he looks over and smiles at her. you know, and then the next thing you know is you see her head in the fridge.
Right, right. Well, we don't know if it's a delusional head. Or
right, right, right.
The actual, not to do a spoiler. All right. Well, that does it for that.
Simple topic.
Simple topic of in which we talked about that.
What was the original question?
What was the original question? It's late.
Yeah, it's late.
My brain isn't working anymore.
Wait, wait. You shouldn't have said that to me. That sounds really offensive.
Oh, actually, I wanted to say one more thing. So for some people, they have been sexually assaulted and when in a certain way. And even when people hit on them in what would be considered by many people to just be regular ways of hitting on them, it can
still trigger.
It can trigger them and make them extremely terrified. I know a woman who has been raped and sexually assaulted as a young person, and when she is in public, if a guy just walks up to her and just asks her anything, it's triggering to her, right. Especially if it has some kind of, you know, sexual or romantic vibe to it. It throws her into a dissociative state, and she goes into an appease mode, right?
Right, right.
And she's terrified, and for a couple of weeks after that, she'll dissociate. Her PTSD will spike, and so that's just another part of this. That again, I don't know the answer to that because
The counter to that, or not counter, sorry, the example, but from the other direction, is that, you know, when I was younger, because of my when I was abused when I was little, it left this situation where if certain kind of female showed me certain kind of interest, my brain would implicitly conclude that I was allowed to touch that person inappropriately.
Because you were violated,
yes,
by someone, right, older than you.
Right. And so it's something that it stays with you and you can't control until you have to go through therapy and all these things to maybe try to, you know, get a hold of it. But before I was aware of it, it was just like, it's not even a conscious thing. It was just like, well, of course I should touch this person right now because the signals or whatever, right? And I wouldn't have even been able to explain it. It's if, like, if someone would have stopped me, like, what are you doing? Right? Which actually did happen, right? I'd be like, what do you mean? What am I doing? That question doesn't even make sense to me.
Right. Because that's the, what was modeled to you, and your neurons developed that pathway of behavioral sequences.
That's right.
You know, somebody does something and the next step is bang.
That's the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that does it for that episode of Psychology in Seattle. Thanks for joining us out there. Please take care of yourself. Let us know what you think. You can email us at contact@psychologyinseattle.com, or you can go to psychologyinseattle.com and fill out the contact us page. If you do email us, let us know how you want us to talk, because we often read emails on the air. So let us know how you want us to refer to you, whether or not it's anonymous or, you know, like Joe from Portland or something.
Right.
Sometimes that would be nice. And like I said, please take care of yourself, because
you deserve it.